What if the foundation of Western spirituality, the ritual that billions have practiced for two millennia, began not as symbolic ceremony, but as a psychedelic experience? This isn't fringe speculation or New Age fantasy. It's a hypothesis built on archaeological evidence, ancient texts, and chemical analysis that's forcing scholars to reconsider everything they thought they knew about Christianity's origins. The implications are staggering. If early Christians consumed mind-altering substances as their sacrament, then institutional religion may have spent centuries replacing direct mystical experience with empty ritual. For a generation increasingly disillusioned with traditional faith, yet hungry for authentic spiritual connection, this investigation offers something radical, evidence that our ancestors didn't just believe in the divine, they experienced it directly, through carefully prepared substances that dissolved the boundary between human and sacred. For two millennia, ancient Greece's most sacred ritual occurred at Eleusis, where initiates consumed a mysterious beverage called the Koukaion. Those who drank it reported visions so profound they gained absolute certainty of the soul's immortality, unlike typical Greek beliefs about a bleak afterlife in Hades. Cicero, Plato, and Marcus Aurelius all participated, with Cicero declaring it gave humanity reason not only to live joyfully, but also to die with better hope. In 1978, three scholars proposed the unthinkable. The Koukaion contained ergot, a fungus with LSD-like compounds. Gordon Wasson, Albert Hofmann, who discovered LSD, and classicist Karl Ruck published The Road to Eleusis, arguing that Western civilization's founders incorporated psychedelics into their most sacred rites. Boston University immediately demoted Ruck for this claim. But with clinical research now exploding at Johns Hopkins and NYU, and cities decriminalizing psychedelics, Ruck's marginalized work suddenly seems prescient. The question isn't whether psychedelics were used in ancient religious practices, it's when they were replaced by placebos, and what humanity lost in that exchange. Why did our ancestors abandon hunting and gathering for agriculture's backbreaking labor? They wanted better parties. At Germany's Weihenstephan Research Center, scientists explain that brewing is remarkably simple, just grain, water, and natural yeasts from human hands. Archaeological evidence supports the feasting model. Whoever threw the best keg parties gained loyal followers. 13,000-year-old stone mortars in Israel's Rukfet cave show evidence of graveyard beer used in funerary rituals. At Turkey's Göbekli Tepe, the world's first temple from 12,000 years ago, massive limestone basins held 42 gallons each, with chemical analysis suggesting large-scale feasting with strong cultic significance. This reverses everything. Religion didn't follow farming in cities, it preceded and caused them. Then came the smoking gun at Mas Castellar de Pontos in Spain, a Greek colonial site from 450 to 400 BC. Archaeobotanist Jordi Juan Treseres found ergot sclerotia, the fungus containing LSD-like compounds, embedded in a human jawbone and in a miniature chalice shaped like Dionysus's cup. As Karl Ruck concluded, the minuscule size indicates a very powerful potion. A tablespoon was all you needed. The colonists were Phocaeans, whose philosopher Parmenides laid the groundwork for Western thought. Without Parmenides, there would be no Socrates, Plato, or Aristotle. As civilization evolved, wine replaced beer as the sacred beverage. Ancient Greek wine wasn't what we drink today. Texts consistently described it as a pharmakon, a drug that could heal, induce visions, or kill depending on preparation. Alexander the Great's drinking contest reportedly killed 35 people on the spot. Just two cups of unmixed wine killed a man named Erysichthonis. These weren't alcohol overdoses. Ancient wine was deliberately infused with powerful additives. Dioscorides, De Materia Medica, contains 56 recipes for drugged wines, including nightshades, henbane, and mandrake, substances that could produce visions or prove fatal if improperly dosed. The connection to Christianity becomes impossible to ignore. The Gospel of John records Jesus' first public miracle as turning water into wine, using Greek terminology that would have connected Jesus to Dionysus for Greek-speaking audiences. This occurred in Galilee, wine country, near Scythopolis, the legendary birthplace of Dionysus himself. Early Christian writer Ignatius of Antioch called the Eucharist the Pharmakon Athanasius, drug of immortality. After Rome executed thousands of Dionysus followers in 186 BC, Jesus may have brought the sacrament indoors, domesticating the ancient wilderness ritual for a new era. In 1 Corinthians 11:30, Paul describes Corinthians literally dying from improper Eucharist consumption, suggesting a potentially lethal psychedelic substance. In Corinth, charismatic women prophets led house churches during cultic banquets, possibly incorporating ergot preparations or Dionysian potions. The underground Christian practice of refrigerium, commemorative feasts at tombs where the living shared food and wine with the dead, connects early Christianity to ancient death cults. The Hypogeum of the Aurelii, a 3rd-century Roman catacomb requiring special Vatican permission to visit, depicts a sacred banquet with 12 men and a servant raising a golden chalice. Another fresco shows Circe from Homer's Odyssey, whose pharmaca transformed Odysseus's companions into pigs, deliberately suggesting drugs were essential to these mystery rites. At St. Peter's Basilica, archaeological evidence reveals a 2nd-century shrine with animal bones, wine libation tubes, and religious picnics. One shocked cleric noted martyrs' tombs were seen as Christ's altars. The evidence suggests early Christianity's most sacred ritual involved psychoactive substances administered in funerary contexts, continuing practices stretching back to the Stone Age. Roman catacombs reveal women's central role in early Christianity, particularly in preparing the Eucharist. In the catacombs of Saints Marcellinus and Peter, Chambers 78 depicts a barefoot woman ceremoniously raising a cup while 4 men observe. Latin inscriptions are explicit: agape, love, with misse, mix it up, and misse nobis, mix it up for us. These prove women weren't just serving wine, they were mixing it. Greek-speaking women in 3rd-century Rome accessed extensive herbal knowledge from Dioscorus and Galen, whose pharmacological works could have influenced a powerful Christian Eucharist. Another inscription reads, Da calda, hand over the warm stuff, a mixture of hot water, wine, and drugs. In 1996, Villa Vesuvio near Pompeii revealed a vessel with psychoactive plants steeped in wine, tangible evidence of psychedelic wine when Christianity emerged. Inquisition records, 1569 to 1753, document systematic targeting of Tuscan mothers and daughters to eliminate generational knowledge transfer, the church's deliberate strategy to eradicate female-led traditions that may have included psychoactive substances in alternative Eucharistic practices. Modern archaeobotany can now detect microscopic psychoactive residues from ancient artifacts, with evidence likely emerging from sites where Greek and Christian mysteries overlapped: Corinth, Ephesus, Antioch, Alexandria. Christianity was never monolithic. Diverse practices existed from the start, with some communities likely maintaining connections to psychedelic experiences. This religion with no name, seeking divine revelation through altered states, has persisted for at least 12,000 years. Modern research validates ancient wisdom. 75% of participants in controlled psilocybin sessions rate their experiences among life's most meaningful moments. Contemporary researchers have achieved what ancient mystery cults strived for: protocols to reliably induce profound mystical experiences. Yet, these substances remain largely illegal, creating a stark divide between scientific understanding and public access. The immortality key isn't a substance, but a technology of consciousness, a method for transcending ordinary perception to glimpse our integral connection to the cosmos. In rediscovering this ancient wisdom through modern science, we may find healing for individuals and a new relationship with nature, each other, and existence itself. The question isn't whether we'll reclaim this knowledge, it's whether we'll have the courage to use it wisely.